Hello, this is Beatrice Pavia with part one of the pantograph of Friday, January 9th, 2026. We turn first to page one, where the main story is on Eats of the Week, titled Noodle Around at Kobe Ramen. Eatery goes beyond tradition with wide East Asian menu. The story is datelined Bloomington. Kobe Ramen Pho and Poke, the third Kobe restaurant owned by Eric and Minzy Chen, has been serving up a variety of East Asian specialties in Bloomington for nearly 2 months. Minzy Chen said they've had many customers coming in to see the restaurant's vibrant decor, which is different from a traditional noodle house. She describes Kobe Ramen as a casual fine dining experience, complete with a large custom-made statue of famed anime character Naruto slurping a bowl of ramen. The restaurant is housed inside the former site of Giordano's Pizza at 1505 North Veterans Parkway, Suite 1 in Bloomington. Eric and Minzy Chen also own Kobe Revolving Sushi Bar at 1500 East Empire Street in Bloomington, and Kobe Japanese Steakhouse at 401 North Veterans Parkway in Bloomington. We try to bring something different here. It's called a ramen house, but we also include the pho and the Chinese noodles, and we make like all different kinds of noodles under one roof, making it so convenient for people here, Minzy Chen said of what makes this restaurant unique. The self-ordering kiosks and the QR codes found on the tables also make ordering convenient, she said, noting that they are popular features during lunchtime. Ramen is the number one seller with pho, which is a Vietnamese noodle soup, as number two. Chen said they boil their pho broth for 5 to 7 hours each day. The most popular ramen dishes are tonkatsu, Tokyo tonkatsu, and Korean kimchi, mi shan, a Chinese noodle soup, and the house-made kimchi appetizer are popular as well. Other popular appetizers include pork gyoza, Vietnamese spring rolls, cheese wontons, and tuna tataki. Chen said they have had many customers ordering the rice plates too, including General Tso's chicken and orange chicken, and they sell more than 100 boba drinks a day on the weekends. The current specials, which will continue through January, include the Golden Ginza Ramen and Marry Me Punch, which is made with Moscato, peach, and mango syrup, Sprite, fresh lime and lemon, and mango and peach popping boba. People come here to enjoy something they couldn't find elsewhere in town. This is a place for them. We really provide really good quality food, and people just love it. They have more choices, I believe, she said. People who are looking for a good ramen place or a good pho place know to come to Kobe Ramen, Chen said. They also still have a lot of new customers who visit to experience all of the atmosphere, having seen the restaurant on social media, she added. Kobe Ramen also has plenty of gluten-free options, as most items are made from rice, meat, and vegetables, including the mi shan. Chen recommends those who cannot consume gluten avoid the mala and hoisin sauces since they typically contain gluten, and they also offer a plain ramen for those who don't want extra toppings. The kitchen can also cater to nut and shellfish allergies, and while not easily seen on the menu, Chen said they do have vegetarian and vegan options since the ramen can be made with vegetable broth and toppings can be customized to remove meat, eggs, or other items. Customers with specific dietary needs or preferences are encouraged to speak with staff so they can accommodate them and communicate with kitchen staff. We have a really good team of servers, baristas, food runners, and hosts, Chen said. Everyone works together as a team. We have a lot of employees. We have a lot of employee love in this place. We just want to maintain everything what we have right now, and then still once in a while pop out some specials for customers to try. Kobe Ramen launched online ordering and delivery this week, and Chen said they are hoping to implement DoorDash soon. The Kobe Group also recently introduced a certificate as part of Read to Feed, a reading rewards program for kids to promote strong literacy skills. Students who reach a goal of 200 minutes of reading per month and have their reading log signed by a guardian or teacher can receive a Super Reader certificate. As a reward, students receive a free kids' meal at either Kobe Japanese Steakhouse or Kobe Ramen, or they can have two free plates at Kobe Revolving Sushi. Chen said she's already had a customer ask if they will expand Kobe Ramen, but they have no plans to change locations or add any more ramen shops. The restaurateurs, however, are working on their next venture, Kobeon, an eatery offering Korean fried chicken, corn dogs, boba waffles, and more. It is expected to open in April at 1101 North Main Street in Normal, the site of the former Ching's Chinese restaurant. The Chen's Craftify Do-It-Yourself Studio, a craft store that offers space for kids to create, is also expected to open in the next several weeks. And if you go, the hours are 11 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. and 4 to 8:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. and 4 to 9:30 p.m. on Friday, 11 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Saturday, and 11:30 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. on Sunday. They are also found online at KobeRamen.com. There is also a phone and an online presence. Our next front page story is about Minneapolis, titled "Shooting Sparks Anti-ICE Protests, Feds Bar State Agency from Investigation." This is an Associated Press story datelined Minneapolis. Minneapolis was on edge Thursday after a federal officer taking part in the Trump administration's latest immigration crackdown shot and killed a woman, with protesters venting their outrage, the governor urging restraint, and schools canceling classes as a precaution. State and local officials demanded the immigration agents leave Minnesota after the masked and unidentified Immigration and Customs Enforcement officer shot 37-year-old mother of three, Renee Macklin Good, in the head on Wednesday. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem said agents won't be going anywhere. The Department of Homeland Security deployed more than 2,000 officers to the area in what it says is its largest immigration enforcement operation ever. Noem said more than 1,500 people already were arrested. Dozens of protesters gathered early Thursday outside of a federal building on the edge of Minneapolis that is serving as a major base for the immigration crackdown. They shouted, "No more ICE, go home, Nazis, quit your job, and justice now," as Border Patrol officers pushed them back from the gate, doused them with pepper spray, and fired tear gas. "We should be horrified," protester Shanta Hemaji said. "We should be saddened that our government is waging war on our citizens. We should get out and say no. What else can we do?" The head of the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension said Thursday the U.S. Attorney's Office barred it from taking part in the investigation. BCA, or Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, Superintendent Drew Evans said in a statement that after the agency consulted with the Hennepin County Attorney's Office, the U.S. Attorney's Office, and the FBI after the shooting, it was decided that the BCA Force Investigations Unit would conduct a joint investigation with the FBI. But he said the FBI later informed the BCA that the U.S. Attorney's Office changed the plan. The investigation would now be led solely by the FBI, and the BCA would no longer have access to the case materials, scene evidence, or investigative interviews necessary to complete a thorough and independent investigation, Evans wrote. "Without complete access to the evidence, witnesses, and information collected, we cannot meet the investigative standards that Minnesota law and the public demands, As a result, the BCA has reluctantly withdrawn from the investigation. The BCA Force Investigations Unit was designed to ensure consistency, accountability, and public confidence, none of which can be achieved without full cooperation and jurisdictional clarity, he wrote. The anti-immigration enforcement protests weren't confined to Minneapolis, as demonstrations also took place or were expected Thursday in New York City, Seattle, Detroit, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, Philadelphia, San Antonio, New Orleans, and Chicago. Protests were also scheduled in smaller cities later this week in Arizona, North Carolina, and New Hampshire. Bystanders captured video of Macklin Good's killing in a residential neighborhood south of downtown, and hundreds of people turned up for a Wednesday night vigil to mourn her and urge the public to resist the immigration crackdown. The videos of the shooting show an officer approaching an SUV stopped across the middle of the road, demanding the driver open the door and grabbing the handle. The Honda Pilot begins to pull forward, and a different ICE officer standing in front of it pulls his weapon and immediately fires at least two shots at close range, jumping back as the vehicle moves toward him. It is not clear from the videos if the vehicle makes contact with the officer, and there is no indication of whether the woman had interactions with ICE agents earlier. After the shooting, the SUV drives into two cars parked on a curb before crashing to a stop. In another recording made afterward, a woman who identifies Macklin Good as her spouse is seen crying near the vehicle. The woman, who is not identified, says the couple recently arrived in Minnesota and that they had a child. Noam called the incident an act of domestic terrorism against ICE officers, claiming the driver attempted to run them over and ram them with her vehicle. An officer of ours quickly acted and defensively shot to protect himself and the people around him. President Donald Trump made similar accusations on social media and defended ICE's work. Noam alleged that the woman was part of a mob of agitators and said the officer followed his training. She said the FBI would investigate. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey called Noam's version of events garbage. "They are already trying to spin this as an action of self-defense," Frey said. "Having seen the video myself, I want to tell everybody directly that is," and then there's a swear word, "bull." He also criticized the federal deployment and said the agents should leave. Wednesday's is at least the fifth death linked to the crackdowns. The Twin Cities have been on edge since the Department of Homeland Security announced the operation's launch on Tuesday. Governor Tim Walz said he is prepared to deploy the National Guard if necessary. He expressed outrage over the shooting, but called on people to keep protests peaceful. "They want a show," Walz said. "We cannot give it to them." Our last front page story is about Illinois, titled "New Laws to Expand Worker Rights." This is a Capital News Illinois story. Illinois workers with a newborn in a neonatal intensive care unit will soon have additional access to job-protected unpaid leave. Governor J.B. Pritzker signed House Bill 2978, dubbed the Family Neonatal Intensive Care Leave Act, earlier this year, and it takes effect January 1. It requires employers of between 16 and 50 workers to provide up to 10 days of unpaid leave to employees who have a child in the NICU. Larger employers must provide up to 20 days. The law applies to both part and full-time workers. It covers a broader swath of workers than the Federal Family and Medical Leave Act, the law requiring public agencies, K-12 schools, and private companies with at least 50 employees to provide up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave per year. Workers eligible for FMLA must exhaust that leave first before utilizing the NICU leave. Employees covered under the law must maintain their employees' health insurance benefits and guarantee their reinstatement upon the conclusion of leave. Employers cannot force workers to exhaust their paid leave instead of unpaid NICU leave, although employees can take it if they choose, and violations may result in fines of up to $5,000. Here are some other new labor laws that take effect in 2026. AI in employment decisions. An amendment to the Illinois Human Rights Act, House Bill 3773, prohibits use of AI in employment decisions such as recruitment, hiring, and promotion if that use results in discrimination due to race, religion, sex, and age. The law, which goes into effect January 1st, will require employees to disclose use of AI in employment decisions. The measure, however, could potentially run afoul of a recent order that limits how states can regulate AI. Documenting domestic violence. House Bill 1278 prevents employers from disciplining employees for using work devices to document document domestic violence, sexual violence, gender violence, or other forms of violence against them or a family member. Employers also have to grant employees access to such documentation and communications stored on the devices. The law was inspired by a New York woman who used her work device to document domestic abuse committed by her husband. She was disciplined by her employer and later murdered by her husband. Workplace transparency. House Bill 3638 amends the Illinois Workplace Transparency Act to broaden the definition of unlawful employment practice to include any act prohibited by the Illinois Human Rights Act, the Federal Civil Rights Act, and any other state or federal law covering employment issues. Employment contracts can also no longer include terms that limit an employee's ability to engage in concerted activity like collective bargaining, and it prohibits contract stipulations that shorten the statute of limitations for employee claims, apply the law of another state to claims, or require claims to be resolved outside Illinois. Paid leave for organ donors. House Bill 1616 extends paid leave requirements for organ donors to part-time employees. Under the law, workers can use up to 10 days leave per year to serve as an organ donor. Part-time workers' pay for these days will be their average daily pay rate over the previous 2 months. Military honors. Under Senate Bill 220, employers with more than 50 workers must offer up to 8 hours of paid leave per month, capped at 40 hours per calendar year, for employees to participate in a military funeral honors detail. It is in addition to regular paid time off. And unemployment benefits. House Bill 3200 allows for someone who voluntarily leaves their job for mental health reasons to be eligible for unemployment benefits. It is a 3-year pilot program that sunsets on December 24th, 2028. And we turn now to some local and state news. This story is headlined, Fire Displaces 20. Cooking fire damages apartment building on Tracy Drive. This story is datelined Bloomington. An apartment fire that sparked early Wednesday morning in Bloomington has displaced at least 20 people, fire officials said. About 5 a.m., Bloomington firefighters were called to the 1900 block of Tracy Drive for reports of a significant fire, according to a news release from the department. The first fire units arrived on scene roughly 6 minutes later to find heavy fire blowing out of a third-floor window of a 12-unit apartment building. Additional units were dispatched because of the intensity of the fire and the possibility that people were trapped inside, the fire department said. Fire crews made entry and encountered thick black smoke in the hallway of the third floor. They extended multiple hose lines as they worked to bring the fire under control. All residents and occupants evacuated safely and no injuries were reported. The building sustained extensive fire, smoke, and water damage that affected most of the structure, fire officials said. The exact number of displaced residents was not immediately available, but the fire department said the American Red Cross responded to assist more than 20 affected residents. According to the news release, temporary shelter was established at a local church for those who needed immediate housing, and McLean County Unit 5 is coordinating support for affected children and families. Most fire units cleared the scene by about 9:30 a.m., but city staff continued to work with residents through the day to retrieve personal belongings before board-up operations took place in the afternoon. Fire investigators determined the blaze was caused by an unattended cooking fire. The fire alarm system functioned properly and alerted residents of the fire promptly, enabling them to evacuate safely, Bloomington Fire said. In the news release, officials said this incident underscores the importance of proper code compliance, inspection, and maintenance of fire alarm and smoke detection systems. Working smoke alarms played a critical role in preventing injuries and saving lives. And the department also emphasized the importance of renter's insurance to help residents after fires. This next story is headlined, First Friday Revamp Coming, Dateline Bloomington. Downtown Bloomington's monthly First Friday events, designed to encourage residents to shop, dine, and visit galleries in the area, are changing, the city announced this week. The First Fridays that have consistently brought the biggest crowds will continue as city-organized events, but the remaining month's events will be led by the local businesses. These updates follow ongoing conversations with downtown business owners and feedback from community members. The goal is to refresh First Fridays in a way that builds excitement, supports local businesses, and creates meaningful experiences for visitors, according to the city's announcement. The biggest events are Tour de Chocolat on the first Friday of February, Get Your Kicks on Route 66 on the first Friday of July, and Once Upon a Holiday on the first Friday in December. Besides these, local business owners will be able to choose to stay open late or host events on the first Fridays of January, March, April, May, June, and August with support from the city. City leaders are rethinking how to host events downtown because of shifting participation and public enthusiasm, according to the announcement. The city is also introducing new themed Saturday events to complement First Fridays, focused on creative activities, family-friendly experiences, and shopping-focused opportunities. Those include a honey theme in September, Halloween theme in October, and Shop Small for November. This new approach aims to give downtown businesses more flexibility in their offerings through August. This may include late-night shopping, pop-ups, in-store deals, special promotions, and more. And this next story is headlined, Motorcycle and SUV Crash Kills Rider, Dateline Bloomington. A 40-year-old Bloomington man died Wednesday after a motorcycle he was riding collided with a sport utility vehicle on Bloomington's southeast side, police said. Bloomington police officers and firefighters were dispatched at 3:12 p.m. to the intersection of East Oakland Avenue and Old Farm Road for the crash, police said in a news release. Additional information on how the crash occurred was not released on Wednesday. An off-duty Bloomington police officer and another passerby rendered aid to the injured motorcyclist until officers arrived, police said. Officers secured the crash scene and began their investigation while paramedics provided medical care. The motorcyclist was transported to a local hospital where he later was pronounced dead, police said, adding that an autopsy is pending and his identity was withheld pending notification of next of kin. The driver of the other vehicle did not suffer life-threatening injuries, police said. The crash remains under investigation by the Bloomington Police Department, the McLean County Accident Reconstruction Team, and the McLean County Coroner's Office. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Bloomington Police Department at 309-820-8888. And Carl names new local president, Dateline Normal. Carle Health announced on Wednesday that Dr. Robert Cavanaugh will succeed Colleen Kanaday as president of Carl Broman Medical Center and Carl Eureka Hospital. Kanaday is retiring in February after 15 years at the head of the local Carl hospitals, according to a news release, and Cavanaugh will start his new position February 2nd. I am honored to join Carl Health Central Region and partner with our physicians, nurses, and teams to advance quality, access, and patient experience, Cavanaugh said in a statement. Together, we will strengthen services in Bloomington Normal, Eureka, and neighboring communities and build on Carl Health's commitment to bringing high quality and compassionate care closer to home. The incoming president brings executive leadership experience, clinical expertise, and a proven record of advancing in complex health systems, Carl Health said in the announcement. He will serve as president of the Bloomington Normal Service Area, which includes overseeing operations at Carl's hospitals in Normal and Eureka, as well as affiliated outpatient centers and specialty clinics in the surrounding communities. Cavanaugh recently served as president of Frotert Theta Care Health North Region in Wisconsin, where he led 9 hospitals and 180 care locations. He is a board-certified general surgeon, has earned his medical degree from Wayne State University, and completed his surgical residency at the University of Cincinnati. He also served as a trauma surgeon and officer in the U.S. Navy. He previously held leadership roles at St. Luke's Health in Idaho and Mercy Health in Missouri. Rob brings a rare combination of physician leadership, operational discipline, and community focus. His approach aligns with Carle Health's commitment to providing exceptional care and will help us bring more access to high-quality care as we continuously work to improve patient experience across the entire region, said Matthew Kolb, Carle Health Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer, in a statement. And Compere Giving opens grant applications. Compere Financial announced the grant application schedule under its new philanthropic program, Compere Giving. The program refocuses investments in the future of rural communities with grants, scholarships, and community partnerships, according to a news release. And this year's schedule is as follows. High school scholarships available now through February 15. For students pursuing a degree or career in an agricultural field. Farmers Market grant available February 1 to March 15 supports marketing, technology, education, and engagement designed to drive economic impact and foster community spirit through farmers markets. Emergency Response Equipment grant available April 15 to May 31 for equipment to respond to incidents and to protect and support responders. Next Acre Agriculture Classrooms, Resources, and Equipment grant available July 1 to August 15 for ag education. County Fair Facility Upgrade grant available September 1 to October 15 for renovations, updates, and improvements to ag buildings and facilities on county fairgrounds, as well as new building or barn construction projects for ag needs. And beginning with Compere grants available all year for part-time or full-time farmers who have been farming less than 10 years to fund farm business-related expenses. And this has been Beatrice Pavia with part one of the Pantograph of Friday, January 9th, 2026. I look forward to reading part two with you next.